This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Were you stunned this weekend, Vlad, when John Cena finally turned heel?
Yeah, I was. I was stunned, shocked, finally happy to happen. Yeah, it was great.
Is he still wrestling, though? Like, I know it's been a long time coming. Everybody's wanted this, but like, how often is this basically just building up for a WrestleMania thing?
So, this is his final year wrestling, so they've built this year.
Oh, for sure it's his final year wrestling?
Yeah, he said this is final year of wrestling. The movies, he's making too much money in movies. He's like, you know, the lead.
He is good in movies.
Peacemaker.
He's wonderful in movies.
He's really, yeah. So basically the thing that he ripped the rock for, he became. So using that storyline, what they've done is they've just said, hey, we've already got the new John Cena of this generation in Cody Rhodes, so this is your final year. Why don't you do something that would shock the wrestling industry, and that is turn heel.
Wow.
This is right. This is the equivalent of when Hogan turned NWO.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's Mr. Make-A-Wish. He's like the kids all love John Cena.
He did a Make-A-Wish appearance 4 hours before the show and then turned
heel.
Yeah.
Let's get one last one in.
By the way, all he did was basically become the bad guy from Fast 9 or something like that. That's all he did. He just turned into the bad guy in Fast 9. That's all.
I don't like when The Rock walks out, he does the Goosies thing even as a bad guy. I think the Goosies thing should be for a good guy move.
Hey, man, the crowd gets you energized, Goosey. Come on, you know how many got? Come on. How many times have we seen great NBA players go into a hostile environment, start cooking the opposition, and then they get so hyped up?
Trae Young,
Jimmy against Milwaukee. Like, yeah, they get goosies too.
The Heat didn't work with a hostile environment last night.
No, they did quite well with the hostile environment. They just didn't, like,
what do you mean?
Here's the problem with the Heat. And I hate to say this, but here's the reality of it. And I say this a lot. The difference between a good team and the championship contender, is the ability to play their best basketball longer. And right now, the Heat can't play that style of basketball for a full game.
No, they can't. And
so
it's
some games they hang on.
They need Blue Chew.
Some games they start off great. In most games, they start off great, but they aren't good enough to sustain it long enough to win a consistent amount of games. So it's up and down, it's up and down, it's up and down. Because I got to tell you, they're Larry O'Brien contenders after one quarter.
Well, really after three quarters, their entire problems have surrounded the fourth.
That, yeah.
Like that's been that they have the, I don't know what the numbers are, but it was a couple of weeks ago. They were by a 30-point margin of plus minus. I think they were like minus 90 in the fourth quarter since January 1st, basically since, you know, the whole Jimmy thing was done as him being a part of the team. They were minus 30 in the minus 90 And I think the next team was like minus 64, and I think it was Brooklyn. Like, by a lot, they've collapsed in the fourth worse than anybody else.
So that's what you got to fix.
I don't want to keep harping on the same thing, but it's like, oh, okay, well, let me look at last night. Khalil Ware goes out there and he gives you, you know, six dunks, six blocks, and suppose it's like no minutes in the fourth quarter. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. I don't get it. That's not the only reason they lost, but I don't get it. I'm just trying to sit here.
Especially when you see them guys hitting, doing teardrop layups and stuff. Like, man, I wonder if Khalil could have got to that one.
You know, Jalen Brunson's already good. Maybe, I don't know, throw a seven-footer in there who could swat some of those floaters or something like that. Something. Something different. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he goes, well, I didn't want to affect our perimeter defense. Okay, great. Well, guess what, dude? Tyler Hero's not turning into the glove anytime soon. So, I don't know. Maybe some reinforcements behind him.
And it didn't matter when a guy who takes 12 seconds to shoot a three had enough time to set his feet and shoot a three sidewind in it. Like, yeah.
And just by, call me crazy here, but like, one thing that has been palpable and statistically backed up is you put Khalil Ware in the starting lineup and Bam Adebayo looks like Bam Adebayo again. His numbers have gone through the roof on his percentages. So he clearly likes it. Yes, does he have to yell at Khalil every once in a while? You know what we used to call that? Development.
I get your delivery. Your you want to know what we call that? Development. But that's my bigger issue, that they take something out of some of these young players and stretch it out for 2 or 3 years. That probably should be happening, and they should be taking their lumps their rookie year. And so this Khalil not being able to do certain things on the floor while doing a lot of good things, it's like, guess what? Here's an interesting concept. Tyler's not known as a defender, but because he scores so well, we overlook it. Is there not some things that you really, really like out of Khalil that instead of just banning him from basketball, you probably work with him a little bit more to get him to pick up on the other things, because what he's doing on the floor is really good? And or do we just put him next to K-Love?
And who else should
if you do that against Khalil, next to K-Love?
Hey, a little too much sauce on that windmill dunk, Khalil.
And then here's the kicker. The alternative to the fast and driving New York Knicks and how Hart and how Brunson can get to the rim basically against anybody, your solution is a guy nicknamed Slow-Mo.
Oh, we were so happy. We were so happy.
Right? Like, do you understand? Like, I don't care how much he knows what to do. So great.
I'm glad he knows the plays already.
I'm so like, and keep in mind, this comes from firsthand experience, right? Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick called me to his office, me and Metcalf. You two guys fumble more than anybody, right? I need you to protect the ball. So I was running to protect the ball and not to play football. And then Bill came to me and said, just do you, be more careful. You got to play the way you play, right? Like, there was some carelessness on my part, but the fact of the matter is the good outweighed the bad.
Well, we saw that yesterday with him too, which I was happy about. Well, let's get to headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia miles in inventory at the Sportage, the Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. But one of the things that, like, it was kind of noticeable, it's like, all right, this guy, he was starting to play a little passive on defense. And then yesterday, he just comes up like a bat out of hell and is just swatting everything. I'm like, great, need that.
He's trying to do everything that needs to be done on defensive end, whereas I put him in there like Hulk. Hulk, smash.
Suppose like looking at it, he goes,
who cares if you accidentally slam Thor every now and then? Just slam.
Suppose go, looking go at do that. Suppose looking at it, he goes, a little too much Hassan Whiteside for my liking.
What?
So anyway,
where did Kalel end up?
He had 10 points. He had 10.6 rebounds and five blocks in the first half.
No, so my question, is, what was his plus minus?
Oh.
Well, let me find out.
This guy was on the he was on the verge of a triple double, man. And they just, you know.
Nobody doing it with blocks.
Same.
Last night, Kalel wears his plus minus for the game was a flat. It was zero.
Okay. Now let's go to.
Most everybody on the Heat ended up with a minus. I mean, you blow a 19 point lead, it's not going to go great for your
plus minus. Yeah,
the only guys who had pluses yesterday were Burks and Mitchell.
So. Doing Spo math, that meant at one point in time I should have had Burks, Mitchell, and Kalel on the floor. Regardless of what you think about him, regardless of what you say he's not doing, all the guys that you have faith in were minus. He was a flat. And you know what it worked out? When you had a 19-point lead? Flat. Because flat means you never give up the lead.
Frustrating. We had a trade over the weekend in the NFL. Debo Samuel. He is a Washington Commander. Oof. For a fifth round pick.
I got to tell you.
Him and McLaurin?
But see, I don't know if he's as big a threat as people would tend to lead. He is like a... He's a utility guy, but can he be your number one at any position?
Well, they have a number one.
Yeah, but even a number two, can you just put him out there as a number two and say, only do this? The thing
he's falling off. Yes, falling off.
Works with him is that you use him in a lot of different situations, and why that worked for San Francisco so much is because they had two or three guys where they could move around like that. But if he's in Washington, it just seems like they're going to play him opposite McLaurin and say, play wide out. I don't know how well that's going to work.
Washington from ESPN. Washington is taking on the remainder of Samuel's contract, paying his full $17.5 million salary for this season.
Do you think it – here. So a lot of people were talking about, you know – what would Tyreek go for?
Yep.
Tyreek would probably go for a second or third round pick.
That's what I've been thinking. Yeah.
And
he's the number one still.
Right. But and so when you look at Debo and the way they talk about his production, which has been fine, he gets a little banged up. But it's not necessarily production as a wide receiver. It's more production of a Malik Washington, scat back, a guy that does a lot of different things. And so it's hard to just take that guy, plug him into a position and say, oh, now he's playing opposite McLaurin. You see what I'm saying? That's I don't know how he fits. I think the only team he could really fit was a team like the Dolphins or you know, a team like San Fran. But we already have two or three guys that do what he does. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. Do you view him as a wide receiver?
Kind of just a ball player. Yeah, like right. Everything.
And like, so how does that, when you say, and that's what they're saying, he's going to play opposite of their number one. Is he? That's not what he does.
Give me an interesting team because they had such a great year. Jayden Daniels was awesome.
Yeah.
But we saw with Houston, it kind of took a step back this year, too. So everyone's going to be gunning for him a little bit. Even though I think Jayden Daniels is better than CJ Stroud, it is different when everybody's like, you know, oh, and they had a couple games that, you know, kind of bounced their way as well. But still a fun team. That quarterback's really good.
He's really good. And one of the things that people take for granted with him is he plays the game really well. Like, he knows when to do certain things, when not to do certain things, and he's been really good with that. And so that is the skill set that could probably move on from year to year.
We'll take a break. Michael Chandler, UFC star, is going to be fighting the co-main event at UFC 314 coming up at Miami, the Kaseya Center, on April 12th. We'll talk to him later on this hour. We'll take a break. Back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy. We got Heat Basketball back at you tonight. 7:30 is your tip from Kaseya Center. I'll have your coverage filling in for Solana tonight, 6:15 pre-Heat. And on the other side of the dial, we got Panthers hockey tonight taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are winners of 8 in a row, coming off a win against the Washington Capitals on the road as Alexander Ovechkin continues to chase down Wayne Gretzky. So we got the rivalry tonight, Blood Feud, and that is on 790 The Tick Cat tonight. So check it on out, everybody. We got a busy, busy sports night down here.
Don't let that slide because of all the other nonsense you've been talking.
What?
You know.
790 The Tick Cat?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of all the nonsense that you've spewed out today, that's the least offensible.
Thank
so, you kind of
offensible? Offensible.
Offensible. Offensive.
Is that a word?
Offensive.
Yes.
You know, like, I expect that from certain people, not you. Like, she just gave me the way it sounds. She gave me the
offensible.
How did you cry, JFig? You went to Lomberg's return this past weekend. How was that, being in the building, boots on the ground?
I was kind of saving that for All Right, I Don't Know, but I mean, I'll give it to you right now. It was nice to see everyone welcome him with arms wide open. Everyone was very receptive towards him. Like, they were all clapping. They were all nonstop chanting for him. And every time they chanted for him, a little part of me just wanted to start crying. And my Oh No was basically just watching him go. It hurt.
This had to be a tough weekend for you, JFig.
I was heartbroken, for real.
She was. She never believed John Cena was going to turn heel either.
She didn't believe Cena was going to turn heel. She didn't think Rick Lomberg would be back. And Gabe Vincent is now playing very well for the Lakers. I see him all over the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Kick him down.
Defense first. Defense first, Lakers. You bring in handsome Gabe Vincent. He's going to stop something. That's going to go down for them.
Okay.
It's all right.
There's no off night for Gabe Vincent.
Offensible, definitely not a word. Especially spelled like that.
Yeah, that just sounds. Point. Looks awful.
Twitcher.
Wait, I didn't say that.
It is offensible crime.
Offensible.
Why did I get a minus one? I didn't
know. No, I said Twitcher. Twitcher.
Offensive or breaks public order, such as using vulgar language in public, making an offensive gesture, or creating a disturbance. It is a word. Offensible is a word.
Just so I like want
all
sounds.
Of you wordsmiths, including you, JFig, to apologize to me.
Wow.
He laid the smackdown on that.
Tomorrow. What?
That was shallow.
Wow. She's not. She's going to hope you forget. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I ain't forgetting. Oh, man. I hope we go back out to Liv. I need some new hats.
Liv? What is Liv? Liv is...
The tour. The golf tour.
April.
That was a fun time. I had a good time there.
You know who's performing this year?
Creed?
No.
Oh.
Sublime.
No. Okay.
Really?
I see them so many times, but okay.
Yeah, I feel like Sublime's at every shark event ever.
Always. I've seen them like 20.
Who do we get? We get Sublime. Yeah.
Well, last year was Akon. Made a comeback.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, that's right. Akon.
I don't know if he's making a comeback.
Well, he just came out with new music.
He's getting paid a seven figures just to perform.
Yeah.
That's it.
But how is Liv still doing a thing? Like, is it, are people still digging Liv? Is that like is it as popular as PGA?
Here's the cool thing about it. So in a regular golf tournament, you have two waves. You have 156 guys. You have 78 in the morning wave, 78 in the evening. So certain groups tee off at 1 and 10, hole number 1 and hole number 10 in the morning, and then they do it that way, right, to get everybody out. What Liv does is they have everybody on a hole, and they do a shotgun. So if you stay in your one spot, in a regular golf tournament, you would have to wait for your favorite players to come through, right? But in this tournament, you can see all the players on one hole, right? They're all going to pass that hole. You don't have that luxury in a regular tour event. You have to, like, pick who you're going to see. You either have to go in the morning or the evening.
I thought they were, like, but are they joining up? Like, I thought that they were going to join up eventually.
There's conversation. Right,
but then they have this Tiger League, so it feels like they're not doing it because Tiger has a team league too, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that's Mickey Mouse. That's a.
But is it Liv Mickey Mouse? I thought Liv was Mickey Mouse.
No, except they play for 10 times the amount of money as a regular tour.
All right. Well, I don't.
Let me explain something to you. If that's your profession, and you can make more golfing, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
No. Hold on. But it's okay. Mickey Mouse in that, like, it doesn't really have stakes. Like, they go out there, they play on a team, and they all have guaranteed money already.
Not necessarily. No, because here's the other thing. If you don't play well enough, you can get booted and traded. There's been trades and stuff like that. So there's teams or whatever, but you can get just suck.
No one's kicking Koepka off, though.
No, because he doesn't suck.
Yeah. Tell that to Aaron Ekblad.
So, you know, you got your normal big timers, you know, Phil, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm. I think the biggest.
I'm trying to catch this full swing so I can watch Rory McIlroy get divorced. They got them following the cameras for that, too.
For what?
For his divorce.
He's getting divorced?
He did get divorced.
Where you been, Leroy? We talked about this big thing last year. Yeah, we talked about that. That's how he started winning because he don't have the girl no more.
Man, so he got rid of he was with the
tennis player.
The tennis player
dumped her like years ago.
Dumped her.
Then got married
with this girl.
Have a kid?
He might.
He does have a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this last year, and then he was stinking up the joint. Even though, I mean, he's been stinking up the joint for 10 years.
Kids do that, but to you.
You know. They keep making excuses for him.
Like, oh, he won his majors early.
I would say Liv Golf is, I don't want to say this in a negative way, but I want you to just get a grasp of how it's different. Just imagine if Happy Gilmore was on the tour for real. Like,
That's how Full Swing started this year. They were all on the set of Happy Gilmore too.
But it's
a little cross promotion for Netflix,
right? So basically, you have music, entertainment. You have DJs. Everybody tees off at the same time, and it takes all of golf and crams it into a window that everybody can enjoy. Every golfer.
I'm trying to get to this Rory McIlroy divorce episode and the Scheffler gets arrested episode.
I mean, you know, to be honest with you, they picked the single-handed nicest guy on tour to arrest.
Criminal.
I mean, they say it shook him up.
I'm sure it did.
Right.
I'm sure it did. Remember, he asked Jeff Tarlington for help.
There's a lot of like the way golf is going now, a lot of young golfers that are popping on to onto the scene, winning early. There's
there was some Luke, Swedish guy they were putting in the first episode.
Luke Clayton. Oberg.
Oberg, yeah. They followed him Oberg. A little bit.
How about this? This is how good he was. He was named to the Ryder Cup team coming out of college. So usually you get points and you qualify, and then you have your coach's picks or your captain's picks. The captain picked him right out of college.
Jeez.
And he's right now he's first in the standings. So he's really good. The Luke
Don't
Clanton.
Spoil it. How Don't about spoil this? It for me. I'm a year behind.
Luke Clanton is an amateur that got his tour card. And the reason why you should care down here, because guess where he's from?
The U.
Hialeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. No, the Think U don't that. Have. How about this? Think about this. The University of Miami does not have a men's golf team.
Suckers.
They have a women's golf team.
Heard they were scared to take on the Bucks. That's why.
The Bucks?
Yep.
Well, the small schools like that, they all have number foreigners, right?
Nothing but Swedes, dude.
Yep.
We had six Pella Larsons on our team.
Yep.
Dominated.
There's a lot of European players that come over and play at these small universities. Because it's tons golf. You can golf anywhere.
Tons of Swedes on the golf and tennis team at Barry.
Yep. There you go.
It was all put together. Get Pella Larson some more minutes, too. I want to see him out there hustling his ass off. Pella? Did you see Pella Larson scare the holy hell out of Tyler Hero?
Would you rather have Pella Larson play more or Kalel?
Kalel.
Okay. So.
But why can't I have both?
Why can't you have both? I don't know. With Pella, like.
Speaking of, by the way, we have some breaking news from Anthony Chang. The Heat will be without Kalel Ware because of a sprained right knee. Eric Spoelstra said after the game that Ware was fine, but apparently he left last night's game hobbled. Yeah, that's because of that damn Mitchell Robinson with his flopping and his flailing all over the place, diving on people. He did the same thing to Joel Embiid. Guy can't control his body, and he's flopping like a fish on giant people's legs. Ridiculous. You know it's true, Vlad. You guys sit here with your little mixtape about Bam Adebayo being a dirty player, Mitchell Robinson can't stay on his 2 feet.
I'm going to just say this, right? Not while Vlad's here.
What do you mean?
That's some stuff you keep in the family when Frog Boy gets here, because I don't want to see his reaction to your nonsense.
I'm not hiding from anybody. He was
in that. They came back from 19 and won the game. What could you possibly say?
Mitchell Robinson.
What could you possibly
Who
say?
Was the spark plug? Who was the spark plug?
Oh, he was a spark plug, all right. He was because he took a club to Kalel Ware's knee.
A club?
And sprained
really?
It.
Wait, a club? Why you make it really? Sound like it was Nancy Kerrigan?
Right? All of a sudden, Mitchell Robinson's Tanya Harding.
You bullied a rookie by taking out his knee ligaments.
We bullied a rookie.
It was more crushing to have Josh Hart just driving whenever he wanted.
Oh, when slow mo was on?
He's another one rolling up on people's ankles.
What can we? This team who works on taking guys off the dribble and getting to the hoop. This is what the Knicks do, right?
Yep.
You can't have a guy standing in front of a guy named Slow Mo.
All right, dude. You've bullied Slow-Mo enough. Let's get to the real thing.
I'm bullying him.
You got a bunch of Kurt Angles out there doing the ankle lock on the New York
Knicks.
There's
no Kurt Angles.
And now Kalel Ware can't play. So if you guys really wanted to tune into Heat Wizards tonight, 6:15, I got preheat for you.
Oh, you're doing preheat tonight?
Point. Yeah, I'm in for Solana.
Are you going down to the arena?
I am.
Oh, you are today.
Oh, nice. I am. That's a home game. What am I supposed to do? Everybody's going to be in there, and I'm not.
Yeah, but I thought you got a little sick one, a youngling.
I have another parent. She'll tag in. She'll take the hot tag. Wow.
So you would rather see a team who can disappoint you than take care of your daughter who's ill.
I don't understand how this turned into me not being a parent. I've literally been home all day with her.
No. I did not ring the bell.
I did that. I did.
I understand.
I pulled a Tobin on top.
I didn't even say anything about that. So I want you to
You're implying,
tone
though.
Back your anger and directed towards the right person.
All right. Well, we'll talk to a very nice.
You won't be watching the Panthers today.
I don't think I am because they don't have a bunch of screens up there. I mean, if I could find a way, and I don't have Panthers Plus, so I guess I got to get Panthers Plus to watch it, JFig. So unless the Panthers want to give me a wink, link, you know, a little wink password for Panthers Plus, I would appreciate that.
You and the winks.
Yep.
The winks. The winks. We'll talk to a man who is an absolute menace. He's going to be fighting at the Heat's house coming on April 12th, UFC 314. Iron Michael Chandler. He's taking on Patty Pimblett in the co-main event. He joins us next. All right, welcome back, everybody. 560 WQAM. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Very excited to talk to our next guest. He is going to be in the co-main event at UFC 314 on April 12th at the Heat's house, the Kaseya Center, coming on up against Patty Pimblett. We talked to Patty yesterday, and now we get the opportunity to talk to this man right here, Iron Michael Chandler, joining us here on the show. He's done a lot of his training in South Florida throughout his career. So, Michael, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump down there to Miami from where I am here in Deerfield Beach. So it'll be a nice little travel day.
It is. And I imagine that's that. With how many guys train down here, has this become a sneaky popular card now get on annually, Michael? Because nobody has to, you know, go away from home base.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the main attraction was when I actually sat at the Miami card last year and realized the fandom and how big the card was and how loud it was and how fun it was. It was just Miami's a great spot to fight, and that's why the UFC keeps coming back every year. So now here I am on the card, and I look to steal the show as I always do.
He has a special place in my heart too, Leroy, because I remember the Michael Chandler cards at Bellator at the old Hard Rock Live with him, mm-hmm. Hector Lombard and those guys, and they were the only MMA card coming because UFC had like they had blacklisted South Florida for a while. So it is great to see it now back as a hotbed, and you get to have another moment down here.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. I mean, yeah, I've only fought in South Florida one time, and it was when I beat Eddie in 2011, Eddie Alvarez. So I'm undefeated in Florida. I do my training in Florida. It's kind of like my second home. I have a home down here. So home field advantage for the boy from down here in Florida.
Is that a real convenient thing? Because, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, playing games at home versus travel or whatever. But in the fight game, you usually go, you know, 10, 15 days early anyway to get acclimated. So is there as much of a advantage of being able to be in your own house and being at home and kind of continue your training regimen and not have to adjust for where you have to do it or how you have to do it?
Yeah, it's a good question because I've actually really never done it. Last time I fought in Florida, I was training in Vegas. You know, so I mean, technically, this is my first time kind of actually fighting in the place that I actually live. So, I mean, I've flown all the way across the world to Abu Dhabi twice. Which the crazy thing is, I have not fought in Vegas. This is my sixth or seventh fight in the UFC. Talking to Hunter Campbell the other day when we booked this thing, I was like, dude, I have to fight in Vegas. I'm excited about Miami, but dude, how have I not fought in Vegas yet? But it's definitely easy. You know, you think about a guy like Patty who's got to fly from all the way across the pond. Our main event, Volkanovski coming from Australia. These are big flights. You know, you got to come a week or two in advance. Man, I'm just going to hop in a vehicle and drive an hour and be in the host hotel here, you know, a few days before the fight. It's going to be very easy and convenient.
So we were talking to Patty this week about your matchup, and he's very cocky, Michael. He thinks that a lot of the top of the lightweight division is on the way out, that you guys are all now over the hill. And he thinks he's the young lion who's ready to steamroll through everybody. What do you make of him as an opponent? Do you feel like this is the time where you expose Patty? Because a lot of people think this is way too big a leap up in competition for him facing you.
Yeah, I mean, only he knows whether he's a lion or not. Is he young? Yes. But is he a lion? He definitely has not proven that yet. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. You know, just because he hasn't been battle tested yet by any top competition doesn't mean that he's not a lion. But I got a sneaky suspicion he wouldn't be able to hang with the dudes like me, the Poiriers, the Gaethjes, the Oliveiras, these guys who you literally have to kill to get outside of the octagon. So, you know, we'll see. It remains to be seen. All I know is I've fought the top contenders. I've had an opportunity to fight for the title, become the number one contender. I've had these great opportunities. And this is the life cycle of a fighter where it's like, hey, I need to plant my flag in the middle of the UFC octagon and say, hey, I am still here. You're outside the top 10 for a reason, and I'm inside the top 10 for a very special reason. And I'm going to go out there, and I believe I'm going to starch him. But, you know, it remains to be seen, man. I'm just excited to compete. I believe in myself. I believe in my abilities. And as I've said before, Patty's got a great brand. People like him. He's popular for a reason. I got nothing against the guy, but it's definitely not going to stop me from trying to separate him from consciousness right in the middle of the Kaseya Center in Miami.
How difficult is it to fight, go from a guy who's going to go toe-to-toe with you and you guys are going to box the lights out of each other or try to knock each other out versus somebody whose main goal is to choke you out or to get you on the ground? Does it become more difficult trying to find some kind of way to dominate in your style because he's not even looking to kind of strike with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, that's the great thing about mixed martial arts, man, right. is we think we know that, you know, Patty's more of a grappler, I'm more of a striker, or Charles Oliveira's more of a grappler or not a striker as much. But you never really know until you get into the confines of competition, right? And you're in the moment and you're just fighting in the middle of the octagon. So, yeah, man, every fight is different. And I'm really focusing about 80% on myself. How do I make myself into the most dangerous I possibly can be. And we know what Patty brings to the table. He's got some great grappling. He tries to stay on the outside, especially against a pressure fighter like me. We saw it in the Jared Gordon fight, which the vast majority of the people think that Patty lost that fight. Jared's a training partner of mine. I trained with him this morning. So we're having some conversations. I'm going to put the pressure on him. I'm going to get him on his back foot. I'm going to make him second guess his existence inside of the UFC top 10. And we're going to see how he handles it. Does he sink? Does he swim? We don't know. All I know is I'm throwing bombs.
You're always that's what we know. There's never been a boring
guys, Chandler fight. Throw guys. Bombs. Hey, spoiler alert, I'm gonna throw bombs.
Yeah.
Michael, how is it just I guess being back on a regular fight schedule? Everybody knows the Connor thing was a long wait for you. You finally decided to get back into it. So now being on a all right, I'm gonna fight in 5 months type of deal, does that feel more in routine, even though you're a guy who stays in great shape? Does it feel better to be back on a normal schedule?
It does, yeah. And I've always been the guy, kind of guy. Man, I live this sport, man. I live a champion lifestyle. Even when I don't have a target, don't have a date, don't have a goal in mind, my goal is to make myself the happiest, the healthiest, and the hardest to kill at all times. So I'm always training. But yeah, obviously we sat out a little bit waiting for the Ultimate Fighter 31 to finish with me and Connor fighting, signed. He pulls out of the fight. But to remind people give them a little bit of recollection. You know, I signed with the UFC in September of 2020 and was the backup in October, fought January, May, November, November. I mean, I fought five fights in a 24-month period. So I've always been busy. And this is no different. You know, I was disappointed when I lost to Charles Oliveira in November at Madison Square Garden. The only way to get past the disappointment is to get back on the horse. Right. I wasn't going to sit around. Sometimes an imperfect plan executed now is much better than a perfect plan executed down the road. I just want to stay busy. I want to stay active, and I want to keep on being true to my word of exactly who I am. The most entertaining fighter on the UFC roster. Everybody at the Kaseya Center will be on the edge of their seats or most likely on their feet while I'm fighting because I'm going to finish Patty Pimblett.
One more before we get you out of here. Just got to know, out of all of the 2 years, you watch, because you do live the lifestyle, when you watch Conor McGregor behave the way that he has out of the act, was there ever a video, a moment, anything where you're just like, are you mother bleeping kidding me? This is how he's acting in the cage right now. This is never going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, no, not really, because, you know, Conor is a very unique individual and he's always acted like that. He's been acting like that since as long as any of us can remember. So just because a man is kind of a little bit crazy outside of the octagon doesn't mean he's not going to come back. And the other thing is too, it's like, well, hey, he's on his yacht. He's obviously not focused on fighting. It's like, well, hey, if you had a yacht, wouldn't you be on your yacht if you didn't have a fight booked, you know? So I always just looked at it like that. People can make fun of me all they want. It's fine. I wanted a little bit of time off, to be honest with you. Like I said, I got shot out of a cannon in October of 2020, and then fought all these fights, fought all these top contenders. I wasn't afraid to take a little bit of time off to let my body heal a little bit and just get that yearning back for the sport. And I did. Obviously I fell short in November against arguably, you know, the guy who is going to fight for the title next, Charles Oliveira. So we'll see, man. I'm excited to go out and compete, and I'm excited that it's in Miami. Everybody get your tickets, man, because it is going to be an absolute blast of a show.
You would you would still be on the yacht throwing bombs, though, and shadow boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be in my underwear on a stationary bike like he was and taking videos of it, but we'll see.
So, Michael, like, you've been in the fight game a long time. After a fight, can you tell when you need a longer break? Like, can you just tell throughout, you know, you're preparing for all these fights and you know, if they would have asked you to fight, you would have fought.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, can you tell when, and can you go to your people and say, I need a break here? Yeah. I've been going at it too long.
Yeah, life leaves you clues, man. You know, there's breadcrumbs everywhere, man. Like, it's like, you know, if you're in a training camp and you don't have that fire when you wake up, or the body's feeling a little run down, you know, you're just not 100% motivated like you should be. That's a clue that, hey, man, you need to just take a step back, because it's completely okay to realize that in a lot of different areas in our life, absence does make the heart grow fonder, right? So just being pulled away, having the sport taken away from me for the better part of a year and a half before I got back into a training camp to fight Charles Oliveira, in a lot of ways was tough, but in a lot of ways it was really, really good. I spent a ton of time with my family, dated my wife a lot more, made some great money outside of just getting punched in the face, and it took advantage of a lot of opportunities, man. So it was good.
Body
it was
just feels a, refreshed a, now. Your yeah, body feels it, like I'm ready.
Body felt refreshed, man, and I'm excited to go out there and prove that I still got a lot of gas left in the tank in Miami.
We're looking forward to it. Get out there, South Florida. Tickets available now at the Kaseya Center, UFC 314, April 12th. And if you can't make it out there, ESPN Plus pay-per-view as well. Michael Chandler, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks, appreciate you, boys. See you at the top.